Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
You're listening to the official podcast of PHP Architect. This is episode 2025.11.19, and I am your host, Eric Van Johnson, and with me, as always, is John Condon.
Hello.
Each week, we talk about PHP and web development and what's happening in the ecosystem, what's new with the tools, and what it's like to live and work as a developer.
Watch this. We also keep you updated on all things PHP Architect, our magazine, what? Books, conferences, and everything else we've got going on.
What's happening?
Good.
Go on, you're doing great.
We record every Thursday around 3 p.m. Pacific time, except for next week because it's Thanksgiving and we won't be here. And we're glad you're here.
This podcast is made a little better thanks to our partners over at Displace, Infrastructure Management Simplified. Automate Kubernetes deployments across any cloud provider or bare metal with a single command. Deploy, manage, and scale your infrastructure with ease. Thank you, Displace.tech, and we'll talk about them a little more later.
Are we supposed to go back now?
Is this still me? I don't know. I don't know what we're doing anymore.
This will be funny. If you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, we'd love for you to join us live sometime. Just head over to youtube.com. Now I got to do both things. youtube.com/phparch and hit subscribe. Turn on notifications so that you know when we're going live. Now you might be thinking, Eric,
why would I... watching live when I got the Chris edited audio right here. Fair question.
You go for it.
Okay. By joining us live means you get to be part of the conversation. You can jump into our Discord at discord.phparch.com and share your thoughts in real time and help shape the show as it happens. It's a great way to connect with others in the other PHP developers, get your questions answered, and occasionally watch us scramble to Google things mid-show. And also, it's there all week. This is not just only during the show is Discord around. The community in Discord is a fantastic group of people who hang out all week long.
Or in Awood's case, he's leaving us right now because he's deciding to go to an in-person meetup. A Toastmasters meetup.
Nobody does in-person meetups anymore, Awoods.
Have fun, Awoods.
We're sending him very different messages, John.
We are. Yeah.
We had a meetup.
I think Eric's a little salty because we had a meetup last night, which, by the way, the presentation was phenomenal. Yeah, we'll jump right into it. Why not? But we had four people there. Four? Yeah. We had five. Marcus decided, my mom is landing at the airport and I got to go pick her up. So whatever, he left. He was there for the free food and drink and then bailed on me.
Bastard.
I think we don't do a good enough job promoting the free food. Maybe that's part of it.
Well, I mean, shouldn't be the motivator.
No, it shouldn't. But we also, I think we have on there 7 p.m. versus 6. Like, I think we need to be 6 to 7 social and then 7 o'clock being the presentation.
I'm pretty sure I wrote 6 this last time, but I could be wrong. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't go look at it. But
I just can't believe what a hard time we're having getting a good turnout. I mean, bless the people who show up. We're really happy that you're showing up. I mean, you kind of keep us motivated to continue to do it. But I don't know, man. I thought people would be really excited to go in person again, and I guess not.
I can tell you last night, I am very happy we did not have more people.
What is that?
The co-working place that we go to, you always check with the owner. Mm-hmm. We want to have the meetup this night. And mm-hmm. every time he said, yes, the conference room is available. Nobody's in there. Again, the CPR people were in there last night. Not only that, we were going to sit out in the main little area there, the mm-hmm. kind of welcome area. And we're out there just chatting and we're about to put the presentation up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
The drum circle showed up.
The drum circle. Well, thank God.
Juan with the drum circle. I know.
God damn it.
Now I have his name and phone number. He's like, yeah, you can always send me a message and, you know, we can discuss. So Anyway, because of that, those people are in the other room. We went across the hallway into the other area, and there's like in the kind of walking area around the building, like there's space around, there's a couch on the wall and a little TV up on the wall across from it, and probably like 4 feet between those.
Really? That's why where you guys been?
Oh, I forgot to return the HDMI cable last night. Whoops. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure they have a couple of ours already, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I took it out of the main room. But we got cozy. Presenter stood, did his presentation. A couple of us sat on the couch. Another guy decided he sits all day and didn't want to sit anymore, so he stood. Or also sat on a some other chair. Didn't get cozy with us, but Miles did a great job. He did.
Miles the man.
Writing PHP extensions in Go with Franken PHP. And
so that's crazy because that seems to be like a little bit of a hot topic now. Like, I feel like recently we had somebody propose that as an article for the magazine. And then I'm almost positive I saw a couple of tech talks like that. So
there were a couple of Franken PHP tech talks for sure. This was fascinating. One, like, I've been wanting to look into Franken PHP. I just haven't yet. And it turns out you have to run Franken PHP with Caddy, the Caddy web server, because it's basically just an extension of the Caddy web server to give you those performance increases. But yeah, it was a great talk. Very interesting. And then what was even better was afterwards, we just sat there and chatted for like another, probably an hour afterwards. Just
That's where you shine.
It was good.
You're really good at that. Just hanging out. I start shutting down.
Well, you also have an hour and a half drive back home.
Yeah. Well, even before the long drive home, I was never like the, hang out after the meetup and socialize. I'm just not a social person. That's why nobody likes me.
I felt bad. Yeah. I felt bad because there's only, like I said, four of us there. Really only three of us talking. The other guy that decided to stand or just sit on a stool. Listen, but he didn't really participate. And I kind of wanted to look over and, hey, Johnny, you don't have to stay. Like, you can
leave.
But no, I think he enjoyed listening to the conversation and then just stayed the whole time. And afterwards, he waited for the last guy to leave. It was good.
I like your PHP Architect t-shirt there, buddy.
Hey, thanks.
Nice one. Yeah. That's a
good design, mister.
Thank you. I worked hard. And for the record, all those stripes are precisely the same size. In the correct order, just in case anybody's wondering. There's a lot of research put into that design.
Okay, for the audio listeners, I'm wearing a PHP Architect logo on my shirt, and it is a rainbow pattern on our logo instead of our normal orange.
Not to blow over that. Yeah, it's LGBTQ colors, actually, not a rainbow, but yes, same thing.
Yeah.
Question for you, not to move on too quickly. I've always been curious, and like I said, I've seen the topic come up a few times about writing extensions. With Composer now and package management being what it is, what is the driving kind of initiative of writing an extension as opposed to a package?
Good question, and we did talk about that last night. Honestly, for the vast majority of PHP applications, you don't want an extension or don't need an extension. It's most of our slowness comes from being I/O bound, talking to a database, talking to a file system, talking to other APIs. That's where we get slow. If we were CPU bound, you may want to write an extension. And the example shown last night was doing matrix math, linear algebra or whatever, but, calculating a matrix of numbers. He had a PHP example where creating an array of two arrays of 1,000 numbers and multiplying them and an extension version of that. The PHP version took 53 seconds to do that math. Wow. The extension took like 1.5 seconds.
What?
Yeah. So his thing was, don't just go write an extension to write it. Profile your application. And if you can show that you are CPU bound in a doing a specific thing, maybe that's when you reach to write an extension. The other examples are, you need to interface with an existing C library that you want to interact with. So you would drop to an extension to do that. Or if you want to interact with hardware that you can't access in PHP.
Think
of hardware drivers or whatever.
Controllers, yeah.
You have to get down to that low level to interact with them. So there's a few different reasons to write extensions.
And then he was not only was he writing extensions, he wasn't doing it in C, but he was doing it in Go.
Right. Which means the extension only works in FrankenPHP.
Oh, so that's where FrankenPHP kind of comes into the equation.
Right. It is transpiling it, transcoding it, whatever. It's making it a C extension, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not compiling it down to an SO file or a library that we can then use. I'm not talking to you.
If you ask again.
I'm not talking.
He's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me tag it. Tag it, John.
Yeah. So it's not compiling it down to an extension that you can just include in a standard PHP application.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So when you do that, you now have a dependency of running FrankenPHP.
Right.
For those who might not know FrankenPHP, which is designed to be non-blocking for PHP applications, is also written in Go. So it's FrankenPHP, but it's written in Go.
Right. And it's another SAPI, like Mod PHP or Apache and PHP FPM. So, and it's officially supported by the PHP Foundation. Like they brought,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They brought it under their umbrella. It's being maintained. It's not like you have to use it, but it is, it's not going away tomorrow, basically.
Right. That's a great thing about PHP, man. It's like, it can play nice with other technologies better than any other thing I've seen out there.
The conversation turned at one point to younger people in PHP, and I know that we've had that conversation a lot, right?
It just keeps coming up a lot lately,
right.
Yeah.
Right. We talked with Nuno about it a few weeks ago. We talked about it, and the guy drove from Orange County. So those that don't know, Orange County is about an hour and a half away. So he drove an hour and a half just for the meetup. So one of the four people.
Oh, this wasn't a regular or anything? Or
no. Nobody was regular other than Miles. Wow. I think it was Johnny.
Something special for that.
Yeah, Johnny, I think, was his first time. And was it Carlos? Oh, I feel so bad now because he contributed so much to the meetup last night. And
it was both their first time, though?
Yeah.
So the four people that were there, I'm assuming the four people, one of them were you?
Yep. Me, the speaker, and then two other guys.
And you and the speaker are the only regulars?
Right.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's, you know, see, you got to spin it right. You just have to say half the people there, it was their first time to our meetup. Just have to know how to say
Ricardo.
The word correctly.
Ricardo DeZio. Sorry, yeah. Ricardo. Yeah, he contributed a ton. And I liked one of his ideas of, and you and I tried it back in like 2012, 2013, going to the local college and doing a presentation. But reaching out to the colleges and trying to get especially the computer science teachers to encourage their students to go to the meetups.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. And if we tell the professors that we have pizza and drinks, definitely we don't have beer. As long as you're 21.
We need to come up with another initiative. I mean, you and I even went as far as to, you know, talk about like coming up with new textbooks for them to, because our experience, and this was a long time ago now, this was over 10 years ago that John and I did it, but our experience was kind of shocking the way they were. It was a class that was designed to teach PHP, and it was so far behind. It was insane.
Yeah. It was 2012, 2013, and they were still coding PHP like it was 2005.
Mm-hmm. They were using the very procedural. Is that what it's called? Dreamweaver?
Yeah.
That old. So. Yeah. Yeah.
They were still doing very procedural, you know, file or coding. A lot of require wants, and yeah, it was not PDOs. Good.
Yeah,
no, it was before PDO. They were.
Oh yeah, that's like, that.
My
they were using the MySQL. Yeah, that's right. Oh God, Connect. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, it was shocking. And to be fair, it was actually just before PHP started to blow up again, like. Before Composer came out. I don't think Composer was out yet.
It was close. And, it was right around that time.
Yeah, it was getting really close. So all that, I would have to assume hope has changed a lot, but even still, like I don't think there's ever been like a definitive educational source to teach PHP. I always thought PHP the right way was a perfect like template to like start a good textbook from when PHP the right way was new, but I don't know, man. And I, you know, of course being in the position in we're in now, I just kind of feel that more passionate about like trying to take the time and do it. It's just the biggest thing with education, at least here in the States, I assume it's secondary education, probably around the world, is that a language like PHP changes so quickly. It's just hard to stay current on the education of that language because it's just like, I mean, granted, things fortunately have started to at least hit a regular pace with PHP now where we're not having these crazy like advancements like, oh my goodness, PHP is new again.
Right.
But yeah, it would have been tough there for a while.
Yeah. We're just improving year after year. Everything's getting a little better. We have a good release cadence, which is great.
Yeah. That's the other thing is like, we have this conversation a lot with, between John and I, between other people in the community about like why there are all these places you can go and learn JavaScript. Like JavaScript is just like, you got these programs that are puking out JavaScript developers left and right. And why is that? And it's just like, yeah, I mean, you don't need any special tools, you know, you don't even need, you just need a web browser and there's no server component. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people forget who are learning PHP is that there are, when you get to a certain scale where you're actually doing it professionally, especially when you start looking at enterprise, that server component becomes extremely important. We talked about Frank and PHP. That was created for a need to make PHP faster. And, you know, you don't really have that issue so much with JavaScript. And I don't know. I'm sure there are initiatives.
You say that, but when you... when you're doing an application that scales to thousands of users and you are doing stuff not optimally, you realize you run into people that they have older computers and we just throw code at our servers because we know our servers can handle it. Mm-hmm. And then we're usually running better machines and we'll write JavaScript to do something. And not take into account how it may work on the end user's machine, because again, that JavaScript runs on their computer, not yours. One of our clients is working on an application now, intentionally doing something in JavaScript in the browser instead of a server as a shortcut, right? We're trying to analyze the transcript of a phone call and they're going to do pattern matching, and we have lots of patterns to match. And that's just something that has been talked about. Got to remember, on an older machine, this may really slow it down or make it unusable. And it's a stopgap. It's not meant to stay in the browser long term. It's let's get it done, prove it out, and it may die in, you know, a month. It may be pulled out. We just want to see how effective it is and then decide, do we continue doing it this way on a server or do we do something else?
Yeah. Coming in from our Discord, and if you're listening to audio podcasts, this is why you want to be part of the live show. Skimmer says, PHP is great for Docker images. The cold start is much faster than normal PHP images, which is an interesting statement, case for what I was about to say to Jeff, who followed that up with, as a PHP developer who works mostly with Laravel applications, I use Laravel Herd locally, but I may try out FrankenPHP to test it out on my own. I was about to say, yeah, I mean, if you want to test FrankenPHP out, go ahead and do it. But I'm really not sure there's an argument to be made to use it for local development. And then Skimmer had already made the argument. It's like, yeah, if you're a Docker person, FrankenPHP is a much faster container to load up. So that's interesting. I think Docker would actually be a really good way to package up Kavi, FrankenPHP, you know, mm-hmm. as a server. That is actually good.
Right. Yeah. But if you're running FrankenPHP in production, you're probably going to want to be running it locally.
Yeah. I am a fan of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you are using the features of FrankenPHP that make it a little more concurrent, make it a little faster.
Yeah.
Because they offer, instead of calling them coroutines, which I think is the traditional term, they're called go routines in PHP.
See what they did there?
to do a little concurrent work.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to admit, I'm probably the biggest offender of this, but I'm also a big believer in your local development environment should match where you're deploying the code as closely as possible. That's why I was such a huge fan of Docker, and I was on the Docker bandwagon hard. I pivoted a little bit to Lando just to manage multiple projects better in Docker, but I was a huge fan of Docker. And then John's like, "Hey, you ever thought about using Herd?" I'm like, "Never, no. I want it to be like production, no." And I'm going to go ahead and get a license. And then I installed it. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. I'm never going back.
Yeah. It's like Docker is great, except for the port management. Like just being able to surf to your website, and with Herd, you can, whatever your project is, .test, and you're off to the races. You don't have to worry about what port am I on, or, well, crap, I got to shut this container down to fire this one up because I want to be on port 80 because it's just easier.
Right.
And I'm
that was my big attraction to Lando, because Lando's the same way, right? Mm-hmm. It did port management for you. So yeah, it was kind of the same thing. But like, you still had multiple like Docker instances running. And I just like the cleanness of Herd. I don't know. I need to break myself of it, but I just can't right now. It's just, and I like, as horrible it is for me to say, I would have to say that development for me now has become such a smaller part of my day to day, which kills me. But I have surrendered to it and feel like we're doing better as a team because of it, because I've like really have focused on, you know, how keeping track of who's working on what and, you know, following up, making sure things are getting done. And I think we do better as a company like that, but I just hate it.
You're so good at it.
I don't hate it. I'd rather be coding, I guess, is the better way of putting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fortunately, we have such a good team. That's why I don't hate it. It's the team. I mean, they're so great.
Except for that one.
Yeah, we all know who that is, right? Yeah. I don't think I have to mention names. They know who they are. We're assholes. Oh, my God.
All right, before we go to our partner, I want to point out the ticker down here. It's constantly running. If you are interested in PHP Tech or JS Tech, please think about purchasing a ticket sooner than later. We are getting ready to end the early bird next month at some point. Eric and I are hoping to finalize the schedule maybe tomorrow, possibly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to be hanging out together tomorrow, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah, we can do that. Get those notifications sent out.
Yep. I know people are chomping at the bit to know if they were accepted or not. The JS Tech call for papers has been extended through the first week of December. We have a team member speaking at a conference, an online conference today or Monday. Anyway, sometime soon, and decided to give them the opportunity to bring up JS Tech and get people to submit if they want to.
Yeah. So yeah, we extended that. Joe, yes, Herd does allow some customization per repo, mainly the version of PHP you're running. I don't think you can do MySQL versions like you can in Lando. So in Lando, you can have customized versions of MySQL and PHP and Melee. I mean, basically everything.
Because it's all Docker containers. It just manages.
But with Herd, you can just do, I'm pretty sure you can just do the version of PHP. You can have multiple versions of MySQL installed, but it's not like dependent on the repo. All right, let's hear from our great people over at Displace.
Thank you to our partners over at Displace Technologies. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displace is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without the enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let their automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control of your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech. That's displace.tech. And discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
Thank you, Displace.
Thank you, Displace. Oh, we did that right in sync with each other. All right. Something came to mind with that Displace. Oh, yeah, sounds like we have a new partner might be coming on. I'm excited about that. Nothing to talk about there. I meant to follow up with you, actually, on your question from this morning. I won't bring it up here because I don't know if the relevance, but God damn it, John. There was something else I want to talk about, but
I'm sure it's super important.
Yeah. Today's a big day, though.
Today is a big day.
I forgot to set it up. Oh, look. I want to show this. See, it doesn't show up in my camera. Oh, man. Look what I got up. Does that show up?
Oh, your Batman logo.
I got to switch sides with the Batman logo, man. Okay, let me share. Let's go share my screen here. All right, let's start here.
PHP 8.5 was released today.
Very cool stuff.
I thought it was going to be next week, but I guess they released early. Yeah, so happy 8.5 release day. And guess what? It coincides right with the magazine being released. PHP 8.5 explodes onto the scene.
Oh, yeah. Let's open that up. That was, damn, you should have said something about that.
I just put it together.
Where's that? Oh, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Boom.
It's
share it. Yeah. Share it.
It's on share the site.
Where's the share thing?
There you go.
Yeah. Look at that. 8.5 explodes on the scene. Yeah. Good timing. It's like we planned that or something.
You might think. a couple of 8.5 articles in the issue this month. Super excited about it.
Obviously, we won't be using it in production for a few months, but it has started its March.
I want to say months, probably a little less than that.
You think?
Yeah, I'm a fan of getting to like 8.51.
Oh, the next miner? Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
As people start using it.
Finding out things.
Yeah. I might try installing it on a server and then moving like PHP Tech over to it. Like some of our other sites that, you know,
I'm sure
we're really going to go down.
I'm sure we can do PHP Tech for sure. Matter of fact, PHP Tech might actually be on 5. I got to see what I have. Speaking of customizing Herd, see what I have Herd set up for on mine. Because I usually do push that one forward pretty hard. Yeah. All right. We got a couple of smaller blog posts about 8.5. Which one do you want to talk about?
Let's go with the first one.
What's new?
The performance. Yeah. Okay. I'll move that over. I'll move both of those over.
Performance.
I mean, every version of PHP gets a little bit faster. They're constantly finding performance improvements. Is it going to make a huge difference to your application? Probably not. This first one was funny. A lot of people do this array equals 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 empty array. I've never liked that. I've always been just a fan of, if you just care if something's in it, like if array, and if you want it, wondering if it's empty, I do if not array. And I guess prior to 8.5, doing the array check this way was the slowest way to do it. Now they've optimized it. Now it's the fastest way to do it. But again, you're talking micro optimizations, and it's not worth your time to change the code. It's their thing is write what is readable to you, like what makes sense and what is readable to you and your team. And the chances are PHP is going to catch up and make that the fastest way. Because people have been right. Some people like it this way.
Yeah.
And they didn't micro optimize to go the other way. And now that's faster than the other ways.
There's optimization to match as well, huh?
Yeah. So they're showing a 17% on like this specific code, which I don't fully get. I don't know why they're doing not preg match. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's just example code showing that the optimizations are working well, but I use match true a lot. So whatever optimizations they can do to speed that up is great. I mean, any optimizations they do anywhere is great. What am I talking about? Speaking of optimizations, we were talking about extensions before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there last night, so I'm going to deviate from 8.5 just for a minute. Last night, the speaker pointed out, we already have a lot of extensions. The JSON is an extension.
Mm-hmm.
So JSON encode and JSON decode actually run through an extension, where people always assume JSON encode is going to be slow, or JSON decode, because it's in PHP. So of course it has to be slow. And people have been trying to optimize it and make it faster, not realizing, no, it's running in C. It's really friggin' fast.
Yeah. It's funny. When I first started using Laravel, Laravel had helper classes, is what they called them before. And I used to think like half these helper classes could be extensions in PHP. And some of them are now. I know one of the recent releases of 8 did a bunch of old array helper classes from, I don't know if they were inspired from Laravel's helper class or not, but they pretty much mashed the way Laravel had created their little helper classes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You talked about writing extensions. See, I always struggle to think about where I would start writing. Like, I'd love to try to write extensions, but I couldn't figure out, I don't know. I'm so used to figuring out what the confines of my development environment is and working within those restraints. And I struggled. That's one of the few areas where I struggle to think outside the box of, well, let me think of if I could create an extension for this thing I'm trying to do that seems to take a long time. Like CouchDB would be a good example for that for me. Like it's very niche. It's something I deal with. And I have a lot of code that I've started to produce that allows me to interact with Couch in a very structured way within PHP. But like I don't know, could, like, that might be something I could make into an extension. But yeah. And then, like again, the helper file, like, what Laravel helpers do I use the most? Would that be better as an extension? Like, what I see, you know, is performance an issue with the way it's done now?
Right. Got the profile and figure it out.
Yeah, profiling. Yeah, 100%.
There's conversation in Discord about some other, like, that first one we talked about, using empty. And I don't know why, I've used empty, like, if empty array, and it just never felt right to me. I just didn't like the way it looked for some reason. But it does read well, like, if the array is empty.
Right. Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
Persistent curl handles for DNS connection and SSL handshake reuse?
Yeah, I think I got so turned off to the persistent connections back in the day, like back in the early 2000s, because we had like persistent database connections, and there was like foot guns. I like shot myself so many times trying to use those things. I was just like, why isn't this working? Why? And then you realize, oh, it's something left over from the last connection. And just so, and I don't use curl enough. I mean, I use it, but I don't know if I would see enough of an impact to need a persistent curl connection.
Yeah, like, this is something I would be very dependent on, like, package managers to see the benefit on how it applies to their package in using it. But yeah, to your point, I don't do enough raw curl where I'd look at this and be like, oh yeah, let's use persistence. I just don't. It's just not a big need for me.
But if your application is mainly doing an API request to another service over curl, I can see that being a very beneficial thing. Like, I have this connection already. Let me make another request.
Very true. Very, very true. We got some other stuff. Improved performance. Exceptions. Improved function performance. Operations.
That one's saying opcache is now going to be installed by default. You know, you no longer have to remember to ask for it. It's part of PHP. I don't even think you can turn it off.
It wasn't before?
No.
Oh.
I mean, a lot of the pre-built binaries would have it installed already, but it was an extension that you had to
enable
or install if you didn't already have it. So,
opcache file cache read only support. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
Yeah.
Max memory limit. Yeah, I think we talked about this one before, but I use INI set all the time. Mm-hmm. Actually, we use user properties a lot on the application I work on. So I could say you have some key value pair, basically. And in there, in certain situations, I can increase the memory for you by setting a key value and say you can use up to, you know, 4 or 6 gigs. Especially running large reports, but I could see this being very beneficial.
Yeah.
Like, at the server level, you can't go over 4 because I'm sure, you know, I did that knowing I'm not going to set it to something stupid, but once it's released where, like, customer service can go in and the customer keeps complaining, they're like, I'm just going to make it 128 gigs.
That was me, baby. one across the board.
There you go.
PHP build provider? I'm not familiar with this. What is this? Do you know what this is?
I do not know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know what this is. I'm sure people in our Discord probably do.
Who's responsible for the build?
So I guess, like, yeah, I see. I see what they're saying. So, all right. So, like Linux distros and...
Wasn't it an Ubuntu provided build versus something you got from someone else?
So the big thing is, with the new PHP constant, you can now also access this information at runtime. Again, not really sure how that's helpful, but okay, cool.
Maybe it's a security thing. Maybe you need to make sure that you're running on a...
Don't fucking get me started on security. I hate you right now because you know that, right? I do. You are not invited to my next wedding because of the sock shit.
You don't wear socks anyway.
I do not. Don't have socks in the mail. Oh, wait, where's my phone? Trust me, I don't have socks in. Where's my
foot?
God damn it.
I had to don't bend that far.
I equals diff. This was a lot of people kind of like this. I like it. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Just kind of shown the difference from the default.
Yeah. I'm guilty of when I'm writing something and I need to make a change to the INI. I may change four or five different things, trying different things out, and forget what I've changed.
Mm-hmm.
This makes it very easy to see what's changed.
Yeah. So lots of things in here. This was Benjamin.
Yeah.
Ugh. So snazzy looking guy. All right. We have another one from our friend over at Stitcher.
Yeah.
Brent. Right? I assume this is Brent.
I assume so as well.
He writes fantastic blog posts.
He's got one of those smooth voices to listen to as well. So his videos are always great.
That's how I like to go to bed, listening to Brent's videos.
I'm sure he wants to hear that. We don't really have to go over a lot of this because we've talked about so much of it in the past.
Pipe operator, huge. Yeah. I think that's the big one. Everybody talked about pipe operator. Everybody talks about pipe operator.
Right.
Yeah. Gonna be cool. Clone with, wow, I haven't used clone in forever and a day.
I still use it. Not as much as I used to. I used to use clone all the time.
But now
you can call clone, and as you're cloning, you can change some attributes of the clone.
Okay. Void cast and no discard. Okay, remind me what no discard is. Somebody explain this to me.
Yeah, no discard is basically if you put that on a method outside, if you call that method and you don't assign it to a variable, you get a warning.
Okay. Because
it's the developer saying, I'm returning something. You should probably use it in some way. It's not forcing you to use it. It's just saying, assign it to a variable. And now at that point, you should see, oh, I'm not doing anything with it in your IDE, right? It's an unused variable. And you're like, oh, I calculated the tax. I should probably add that to my total. Or
I was going to say, like, why would this, like, how would I word this best? I guess not. Why would this not be the default behavior of a function that does a return? But like, why would you not use this on every function that you have a return for?
Because there are times where I call something and I don't need the return, what's being returned. Because sometimes it's returning a Boolean just saying it was successful or not. You don't have to check it. I mean, ideally you should, but have to. So
I guess that would be the good argument for not making the default. I feel like I would add this. At least initially, this would probably be one of the things I will overuse initially, thinking that, oh, yeah, I want this everywhere until I realize I don't.
Yeah, you probably don't.
And this is just the message that's in the warning.
Right.
Okay, let's go. Some closure improvements. Oh, this looks weird.
That
looks super weird.
That one I have not looked into at all.
What is this? Closure and first class callables can now be used in constant expressions. In practice, this means you'll be able to define closures in attributes, which is an incredible new feature. What? This gives me the willies, man. Like, I don't know why I don't like it. It just doesn't look good to me. Oh, interesting though.
I need to read up on it more because I'm not fully grasping or grokking what it's trying to do.
Who thinks of this shit? I want to know these. These are the questions I have. Backtrace on fatals. I think this is great, actually. This is, I think, long overdue.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Backtrace on
fatals are fantastic.
Except for a lot of these, they're not deterministic. Like, when you have a fatal error, especially like a timeout, it could be at different points in your script.
True.
I think that's traditionally why it wasn't there in the past. But I've run into it plenty of times where I'm like, just where did it die? And usually it gets you, usually it gets you close enough to be like, oh, I was in this loop doing something for 30 seconds or a minute or 5 minutes, whatever your timeout is. So yeah, long overdue.
I think this is an example of what I was talking about earlier, array first and array last. Mm-hmm. These are examples of, they were helper classes in Laravel for years, and now they are part of the actual code base, which is really cool.
Which
means it's kind of crazy. It's like, why have we never had this?
Right. Which means because it's in the code base, it's going to be way faster than the Laravel helper method that does the same thing.
Right. Yep. URI parsing. This is cool. Actually, this is really cool.
I wonder why.
Something Laravel has classes for. Why you would want this?
No. I know why you would want this, but.
Okay. Like,
why is it new? What's changed?
Well, I don't think. So, again, this is something that was available with Laravel's HTTP function.
Yeah. Lominous has it.
But well. I don't think you could always do get schema, like HTTP, HTTPS, get host, get port. This is what's
new, I think. You can with, well, I know with the Lominous version of it, you can.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of frameworks you could. Like they did their versions. Mm.
But again,
so I think
if it's just bringing it. Yeah. And if it's part of the language, it's probably going to be way faster than any user land implementation.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this. Especially, yeah. Yeah. Cool. The target validation attribute? What? How do I feel like I'm first time reading some of these things? Some built in.
Yeah. I'm like, override. Yeah, there's a lot in here that I didn't know was part of this release.
Delete allows you to postpone that validation to a runtime. Oh, this is fascinating. Okay. I can't talk of this one.
You can read a concrete example here.
Let's do it.
But it's a long thing.
Oh, yeah.
We probably should have read it beforehand.
We should do our research before we start talking about this live. What did we say at the opening? This is when we start Googling shit really fast. Oh, man. It seems like we've been talking about 8.5 all the for so many months now. And like things like this creep up. Like this had to have come across our radar at some point, and we just ignored it.
Because we're too busy talking about the pipe operator.
That's right. Anybody's talking about the pipe operator. Anybody who is interested in any of the stuff we're going over, whether you're listening to the audio podcast or here with us live, we'll have show notes. You can catch our show notes on our blog at phparch.com, and all the links will be in there. Leo, what if you use it in an array? I'm not sure what you're talking about there, Leo. Sorry. I was on another screen. I wasn't watching Discord, so not really sure what you're talking about there, buddy.
Speaking of our Discord people, I love our Discord family, our community over there. This morning or yesterday, somebody was talking about our site, PHP Tech site, and PHP Tech website is missing links for YouTube and Discord. And then later on, they decided that they may open a PR. So, by the way, our PHP Tech website is open source, and we do accept pull requests.
I actually merged one in today. It was a layout issue that somebody brought up. Let me see who that was so I can give them some credit, because they reported the issue, and then they opened up a PR for it, which is fantastic. Let me see. Latest pull request, closed pull request. Here, I'll share. This is open source. Go down here. Make this bigger. This is the only problem. I got to like make everything bigger. TVARS did it. They just created a, and like I said, I actually just closed the issue too. So, closed issues.
Oh, we need to teach them how to link the issues then.
That was my fault. I did the PR. I commented. I should have just added it to the comment, but I didn't.
What do you mean?
Yeah, so it was the issue with the mobile app. The layout wasn't green.
I wonder if it's because it says addressing that one. I wonder if, do you have to say fixes and then it closes it? Because there's something you can do when you link it to say it will automatically close the issue as well.
Yeah, I thought it was just if you reference the issue in the PR.
Well, they do. They did reference it, so.
Oh, did it? Did they? Oh, I don't know then.
But they just said addressing. I think you have to say fixes, or there's a handful of verbs you could put before would do it.
Oh, yeah. Addresses 29. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because I did close it myself. All right, cool.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution.
Thank you very much. We have new swag coming to our swag store.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's at store.phparch.com. We are going to be having a PHP Arch beanie because I left the house today and it was fucking cold and I didn't have a beanie. So I'm gonna add one to our store so I can buy it. That's how most of our stuff gets in there, man. I'm like, oh, I wish I had this, and then I make it and order it.
That's funny.
So yeah, all of our swag stuff.
My wife is not a fan of that one. The middle one there.
This one,
the ink blot,
is not a fan.
Not a fan of it.
Why? It's my favorite.
I like it too. Her comment was, it looks very phallic.
What? The magazine's fell. What? Okay, now I see it. Why? Why did you say that? God damn it. I mean, that can be said about a lot of things. Look at that. That looks really phallic. What's he showing under that thing? That looks phallic. It's an elephant. It's a phallic-looking animal, okay? It's hard not to look phallic when you're an elephant.
That's what I said. It's an ink blot and it's an elephant.
I was proud of when we thought of that. We actually thought of that in a bar. We were drinking. Like, what are we going to have with the magazine cover? Hey, I just saw in the bathroom they had ink blots. Let's do that. yeah, we have a community corner. Maybe we should. Maybe we need our own T-shirt,
Jeffrey. Maybe. It gets into the 60s in San Diego, in SoCal. It does. It gets especially freezing. At nighttime. Yeah. It's freezing at 50. Nah. I know we are spoiled little brats.
100% spoiled. let's be clear. 100% spoiled. I think. I don't know why I thought of it. You talked about living it. The challenges of living in Southern California. Beck, my wife, and one of my kids were in LA yesterday, and they got to go to a movie premiere, the new Wicked movie. I guess it comes out tomorrow officially.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they got to go to the premiere. Well, there is a restaurant. It's all over the place, but there's one in New York, there's one in Chicago, and there's one in LA. And whenever we're in any of those cities, we like to try to make it there's Eataly. It's a big grocery store restaurant thing. It's one of my wife's favorite places to eat. So the Eataly place where they wanted to have lunch was 4 miles from the mall where the premiere was happening. So they're like, all right, let's go there. And I had even told my wife, I'm like, you know what? I would 100% park the car at the place where the movie is, Uber to the other place, and then Uber back. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be a lot of traffic, and if you don't time it right, you know, you're just going to have a problem. 4 miles away. Now, they drove. Guess how long it took them to drive 4 miles?
I'm going to guess 37 and a half minutes.
Very close. Over 45 minutes to drive 4 miles.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure they could have walked it faster. At least a brisk walk. And that's typical of LA.
No, it would take you in. Most of us are going to walk 3 miles an hour, so it's going to take you in.
Okay, Mr. Science Guy. I was trying to be funny, but whatever. Yeah, okay. All right, whatever.
I have an issue where I got to... My wife hates it.
Yeah, you can stop right there. You have issues. Yeah, I had my friend... my friend from Toronto. Weirdest thing that ever happened to us in LA, actually. We had one of our team members actually lived in Santa Monica. And we were in LA. I forgot why we were in LA, but we met my friend had flown in from Toronto. They were going to a wedding at Joshua Tree, which is a desert area east of LA. So they're going to a wedding at Joshua Tree. So we met them at Italy again. And my wife and I stayed the night by the Santa Monica Pier. And we're out walking the next morning to meet the team member for breakfast at a restaurant that was down the street from the hotel. So we're walking there to meet them. And I see my friend from Toronto again walking up the street. I told Beck, I'm like, that looks like Matt. And it was Matt. And we ran into him. And they told me, so they were staying by the Beverly Hills area. It's hard to explain if you don't know LA, but all this stuff is really close. Like, if you look at it on the map, it's all very close. And they said when they left Italy to get to their hotel, which was, again, maybe a 10-mile drive, maybe less than that, it took them over 2 hours to do it. It was like people just don't understand LA traffic. Like, the jokes are real, man. Like, it's just everywhere you go. LA is like, if I drive to LA in the middle, like at 1 a.m, it would take me about an hour to get there. I'm leaving after the show today. I have to take my kid to LAX. It's probably going to take me over 2 hours to get there. And there's no reason for it. There's literally no reason. It's not like it's 2 hours away. It's just freaking LA, man. It's horrible.
Traffic is just that bad.
It's mm-hmm.
ridiculous. It sucks.
All right. Well,
please tell your your kid thank you for rearranging the schedule so you could be here today.
Yeah. Total credit to them, because I was canceling on John, and yeah.
And then I cried, and
there was a lot of tears. We're hanging out tomorrow though, so it'll be a good time. I'm heading down to San Diego and take the car into the shop and hang out with John. So it'll be fun. Yeah. All right. We are actually over, John.
I know.
I can't allow this. You don't pay me for this extra time.
I don't pay you anyway.
That's true. We really need to talk about that. All right. I think that's it. Anything else, John? Anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to bring? No show next week.
No show next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks. For our U.S.-based people, I hope you have a pleasant holiday. It's Thanksgiving here, which is one of those holidays that, like, you know, nobody knows how to celebrate it anymore. All we know is we're off work, so like what everybody clings to. But see y'all next. Oh, look, Sarah comes in. Oh yeah, sure, come in now, Sarah. Sure, whatever. You should take it personal. What did I say personal to you? Oh yeah. Cool. All right. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us.
I was just saying, Sarah shows up, we leave. Bye.
That's right. That's right. That's how we should always end the show. Sarah shows up and we just end the show. We don't say bye anymore. We just run the end credits. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.